This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
We meant to do this yesterday. We just really ran out of time, and I wanted to devote a whole segment to it. And I mentioned about the return of Terquavion Smith of NC State and how big a deal it was. But we have a completely different roster at Duke and a lot of the same at North Carolina, but we just don't know how the chemistry is going to be. And they did have to replace Brady Manek. So I know we had a bunch of, I think two of the coaches met the media this week, Hubert Davis and Kevin Keats both. So let's hear from both of these gentlemen in the Wall of Sound.
The Wall of Sound is a function of this studio. There's no doubt about it.
Let's start here before we get into the roster. Last year, we went into the season. I know North Carolina started the season ranked. It was rank at the beginning. Played poorly. Fell completely out of the top 25. And for a little bit of the season, had fallen out of the at-large pool for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And then got hot, won a bunch of games, and it stopped being a hot streak, and it started becoming, oh my gosh, they're just really good.
Yeah.
And Brady Manek, I actually think Brady Manek was kind of the reason for that. All respect to Armando Bacot and Caleb Love and RJ Davis and the switch of Love and Davis, Davis to point, Love to off the ball. Really, Brady Manek became the reason why this team blossomed. Anyway, now, this year, based on a lot of things, including basically everybody coming back, Hubert Davis has to deal with serious expectations.
And I told him this year, a huge determining factor, the biggest key for us is now, both is noise, but now it's the positive noise. Oh, you guys are great. Oh, you guys are, you know, you guys are in this way too early, top 25. You're ranked number one, which absolutely means nothing. You know, you guys are going back to the Final Four. You got four starters coming back. That's noise. And for us to focus on what is real, and that's our preparation, our practice, and how we can get better this summer to possibly put us in a position where we were last year and see what happens. But I'm not taking it easy on them. I'm coming harder at them.
And he should. He should.
Yeah.
It's funny. I remember Mark Gottfried's first year at NC State where he made the – it was – you know, a lot of people took it as a joke, stopped calling him CJ Leslie and started calling him Calvin Leslie. It's a completely different person. You're not that guy. You're this guy. And they had a really good year as a team. And expectations changed going into the following season because this team that struggled before you got there played well, especially at the end of the season when in your first year. Now it was time to take the next step. And it became apparent to me, and I kept saying this, where's the standard? If you are good as a head coach, and I think we learned, if you don't hold your team to a standard of preparation, practice, performance, then you're never going to get the most out of them. And Gottfried actually admitted later, like in the summer after that year ended, when they were totally disappointing, he admitted that he allowed them too much leeway.
We got better tonight.
No, they didn't. And that was, in retrospect, that might have been the beginning of the end, even though they had some other good years. Because they had an opportunity that year, maybe not to be a Elite Eight or a Final Four team, but to be a player, because they had good players. And it was upsetting. I don't know if this was official or not, but I think the Tar Heels are at least the favorites for Pete Nance, who's a transfer from, was it Northwestern? A Northwestern who's a big guy, who can shoot. Shot 45% from three-point range.
Oh, so Brady Manning.
So, yeah. That's a pretty good thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, they need a little bit more shooting. It can't just all be Caleb Love. I do think that we're going to see a lot of Puff Thomas next year. Puff Johnson.
Him too.
Yes. We had a Puff Thomas back who played football for UNC. All right, now to Kevin Keats, the head coach at NC State. All right, I said this before. As important as anything that happened to NC State, getting good players from the transfer portal, getting their guy, their best player, and we could talk about Darian Seabron all day long. By the end of the season, their best player was Terquavion Smith. Getting him to return was enormous for Kevin Keats.
You know, we talked about, you know, when he went on, anytime he went to a team, how he thought he went. You know, if I could get some feedback from some of those teams, I would try to get it, which most time I could not. And then even when we went to Chicago and had a chance to watch him, and you know, one of the reasons that I think he's back is because he saw an opportunity. I think he and our relationship has always been strong throughout the process. But he wanted to make sure that, you know, and I'm sure he'll have a chance to tell you some of this. If he didn't know that he was 100% first rounder, and for him, 100% first rounder, this is a kid that has a big ego and loves to compete. He probably wanted to be a top 20 player instead of just not knowing whether he's going to be 20 or 30.
He would have been a first round pick. There is no question about that. And, I mean, he wouldn't have been a lottery pick, but he was going to be in the 20s. Hmm. He is a dynamic scoring point guard, and you could see he was getting better and better and better. And now, according to Kevin Keats, the expectation is that he takes another step forward in other areas.
You know, it's the craziest thing, Jones, is when we take him out of the game, the energy on the bench just goes to another level. When he's in the game, the energy on the floor goes to another level. And so we've challenged him to, you know, not just basketball-wise, I want him to be, you know, more of a leader. He's really a shy kid. You know, when you get him in here, he may come off as a shy kid, but he's maturing. He's getting better in that part of it. Now, probably one of the most competitive guys I've ever met. You know, if you were in practice and we're having practice, he's going to be really good. As soon as you say first guy to 10, then he goes to another level. And so I'm trying to get him to be a leader all the time, not just doing the competition part of it.
All right, before we hit the break and we'll announce who our roundtable is, we're going back to our old roundtable ways when we come back. We have a bit of breaking news. Bob McKillop, basketball coach at Davidson, one of the best basketball coaches in the United States, announced his retirement.
Really?
Yeah. Steph Curry's coach.
Yeah, see, he's been there for a while.
Bob McKillop, he was at Davidson for a long time. But the youngest 71-year-old that you could ever know. So Bob McKillop, 634 wins, 380 losses, 625 win percentage. He announced his retirement today, so don't know who's taken over. I just saw it a second ago on Twitter. When we come back, Randy Slack from Wilmington, Jeremy Green from Asheville, the roundtable. Next. Adam Gold in studio with my friend Coach Pete DeRuta with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, how does longevity risk figure into our retirement and income plan?
This is the best of times and the worst of times, Adam. The longevity risk means we're going to live too long. But to me, every day I live is not too long.
Right, absolutely.
Good. So we want our money to outlive us. And unfortunately, many people have seen, you out there listening, maybe one of them, your money is not designed to outlive you. You might outlive your money, and that's not what we want to have happen. Because when we get to that day after you run out of money, it's not going to be a fun time. So let's design a plan that guarantees you'll never run out of money. We call it the GPI plan, Growth Protection Lifetime Income. For the next 10 people, this is a golden ticket, Adam. $1,000 value, we're going to do it at no cost or obligation.
And all you have to do is call. We make it so easy. Would you like financial independence into your retirement and beyond it? 800-661-7383. That golden ticket is a $1,000 value. Or you could text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuda.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
33 years for Bob McKillop at Davidson. 33 years. Incredible. I know Coach K was at Duke forever. But 33 years is just incredible stuff. 15 regular season titles. Some of that was Southern Conference. Also, I believe there was at least one or two Atlantic 10 titles. An Elite Eight run. That was the Steph Curry year in 2008, and he won over 600 games. Tremendous career. Steps down. I don't believe they've announced a successor at this point, but it just happened earlier today. We have not done a full-on old-school roundtable in a while because we've basically been using that time for the League Pass layer to talk NBA playoffs, but we're out of the playoffs now. So let's get back to the roundtable, Dennis.
Camelot. Camelot. It's only a model.
Is it hot in here, Dennis? It's a little warm in here, isn't it?
A little bit, a little uncomfortable.
96 in Raleigh. Two gentlemen that might be experts on heat. Randy Slack, ESPN Wilmington, who's, I think, at a gas station somewhere doing a remote today in the heat. What a foolish idea that was. And Jeremy Green from the Sportsocracy on ESPN Asheville, who's waiting on an HVAC guy. What's going on with both of you? What? It's going to be, well, I don't know what the temperature's like in Asheville today. It's probably not that bad. It's hot as hell here.
It's roughly 90 here. It's currently 87 in my living room.
Oh man, I can't believe that. I would be
out. Hottest day of the year my AC goes out.
I would be
outside. And it's, I will never have to go into another sauna, and I don't want to after 2 days of this.
Oh man, I just hope you have enough hot water for a shower later. Or maybe it'll be a cold shower, Jeremy. Are you all right, Randy? Are you outside? Are you at a public phone? Where are you?
I am currently at my apartment.
Oh, good.
4 to 6, I will be at a Circle K. They are a sponsor, so I'll mention them. And they're paying me to be there. So unlike Jeremy, I will be sweating in the 97-degree heat. But I do get a paycheck at the end of it, which is nice. So my thoughts are with Jeremy over there in Asheville in the mountains.
All right. Let's, even though we had an NBA title decided last night, I haven't had a chance to even talk about it yet. So I want to start with the Carolina Panthers. Mini camp's over. So I'm going to start with you, Randy. Explain to me, as maybe only you can, why the Panthers are still pursuing Baker Mayfield.
Well, I think they think that Baker was injured most of last year, and that's kind of why he stunk. And if you look at his game logs, there's kind of something to it. I don't know how much the injury hurt him last year with the team, but look, the fact that team went out and got Deshaun Watson when Baker got them their first playoff win in seemingly forever, he was the guy that turned that around, and immediately they betrayed him. The Browns get what they get. Is Baker Mayfield great? Probably not. Is he better than Sam Darnold? 100%. And if you can get him for cheap, why not do it?
All right. Jeremy, you want to take a stab at that?
Because I'm not 100% sure that he's actually better than Sam Darnold. Darnold has had some of the – look, I'm a Jets fan, so I have seen practically every snap Sam Darnold's ever taken. I'm not convinced he's that much better, but he's been more successful. And if you look at this Carolina team between the running game, the improved offensive line, the defense, which I think is going to be really good, the only thing I can figure is they think that Baker can be more game manager, turn the ball over less. I just don't know what you're going to give up for him, unless they do what I opined and you trade Sam straight up for Baker. That's the only way this makes any sense to me.
Yeah, I can't. I don't see. But if look, if Cleveland were willing to do that, you'd have to throw something else in. But if Cleveland were willing to do that, that would make more sense. Here's my take on this. I agree in part with Randy that Baker is better than Sam. I just don't know how much better. And here's what I do know. It's pretty obvious that Baker is not that guy. Like, I think at best we're talking about, you know, a quarterback that might be the 23rd best quarterback in the NFL. Like, that ain't taking me where I want to go. So I just don't understand the point is my position on this. I'm like, why not just roll with what you have? Unless Cleveland is going to sweeten the deal, which I don't believe they are. Just roll with what you have. And then and by the way, you also just, you got your guy in Matt Corral, the number one quarterback on your board. Like, what are we doing? What happened to patience? Am I crazy? I don't think I'm crazy.
Have you ever noticed that every team that drafts a quarterback says they got the number one quarterback on their board?
That is
nobody ever says, well, we got four. We're fine.
That's true. That is very true. Look, I just don't think Baker Mayfield. I mean, I think he's better than Sam. I don't think he's that great. All right, Randy. I'm sure you're aware the Golden State Warriors wrapped it up last night with a win in Boston. Just your thoughts on what we just witnessed in terms of the Warriors. We'll get to Steph the player in a minute, but just what did we witness with the Warriors in terms of their place in this dynasty history that we've got?
I'll tell you what we saw. We saw an anomaly, because in every sport in the last 10, 15, 20 years or so, when you have veteran stars that start getting hurt, when start getting worse, you sell everybody off and you rebuild. They didn't rebuild. They waited on their guys to come back. They came back and they were rewarded for it. I don't know if this is going to be something that happens in the future, but if you think about a team like the 2012 Oklahoma City Thunder, who had Westbrook and Harden and Durant, and then they blow that team up, what happens if they just keep everybody together and you keep that core? The Golden State Warriors did it, and they've been to the finals 5 of the last 7 years and have won 4 of them. That's pretty good.
Yeah. It's 6 finals trips in 8 years, 4 titles in that 8-year span. By the way, the Oklahoma City team, they willingly traded James Harden a year before they had to, because they felt like they could at least get something back. And the mistake was not trying to win with that group, not trying to put a title on the board first and then worry about it, rather than just kind of extending it out. And we all saw what happened. How do you sum up the Warriors, Jeremy?
I've heard this talk of, is this a dynasty? It absolutely is. You've been to 6 finals in 8 years. The 2 years you missed it, yeah, you only won 54 games in those 2 years combined, but you were eviscerated by injuries. And the scary thing with Golden State, they have James Wiseman, who was a number 2 overall pick, who's been completely irrelevant. Mm-hmm. Still have Jonathan Kuminga and Moses Moody that were both lottery picks last year. So I don't think it's over. That's the part that I don't hear people talk about that enough. Of, yes, you've done 6 and 8. It wouldn't surprise me in the least if you did 8 and 11. And 3 or 4 years from now, you look at this and it's very obvious that this was a dynasty. And I could argue one of the better in the last 30 or 40 years.
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes – I mean, it's right there with the Spurs for an extended period of time. The thing about the Spurs is they kind of – the shape of their team sort of changed. I mean, it was always about Duncan and, to a lesser extent, Ginobili and Tony Parker. I made up a guy about Tony Parker. But the Warriors really was about Steph and Clay and Draymond. The 2 years they had Kevin Durant, that was a cheat code. That was just like, you were the best video game player, and you know what it was? It was like Harry Potter on a Nimbus 2000. Okay, crickets. Crickets. Did you guys not watch Harry Potter?
I have absolutely no idea what that means.
Yeah, it's not watch Harry Potter? The Nimbus 2000 was like the...
I have no kids.
The Nimbus 2000 was like the state-of-the-art broom. Never mind. Never mind. No. Dads out there will get it. Dads out there will understand what we're talking about. Is Steph Curry, Jeremy, a top 10 all-time NBA player?
Absolutely. I had him at 11 before this year. And I think the finals MVP, the fourth trophy, that puts him up there for me. I mean, he's right there with Tim Duncan, who I had at 9. I mean, I can't have him ahead of Bird. I can't have him ahead of Oscar Robertson and guys like that yet. He's still got a few years left in the career. But to me, there's no doubt he's top 10. And by the time it's all said and done, he could be top 5.
I actually had him ahead of Duncan and Robertson. I don't even have Robertson in my top 10.
Robertson's my 8.
Stunk. No, I'm just kidding. Honestly, it's just so subjective. You could whoever somebody has 16th could be 8th. Right, I don't have Kobe in my top 10. Is he a top 10 all-time player, Randy?
I mean, he's the greatest shooter of a basketball in the history of the game. The name of the game is scoring more points than the other team. So if he's the best at shooting it, then he's got to be in the top 10. I don't know where I haven't ranked my top 10 players, but, I mean, he absolutely changed the game. He's one of the most impactful players. And, yeah, he's clearly a top 10 player because he's like a super Ray Allen. Like it's unbelievable the skill set this guy has. And, yeah, he's a top 10 all time.
Yeah, it's funny. I was talking to somebody yesterday. I think he's the best all-time under 6'4 player in the NBA. And the response was, what about Isaiah? What about he used the term Zeke. Isaiah Thomas was amazing. And these are all great players. And Isaiah's probably – you know, in the running for, if I had also receiving votes, he would be in that group for me. I mean, Zeke was just an incredible player, and he was a 2-time champion as well. They won back to back. But I think Curry has surpassed that. They're just different players. I mean, he's not a pure, a pure dominant point guard, but I mean, he's a modern point guard because he scores. But he also does so much else. Like, he's also as good a finisher as we have at the point guard position. He just doesn't dunk, which makes it maybe even more surprising.
Yeah, he's tremendous. And that team in general, I kind of feel bad that we're not talking about Draymond and Clay, just because that team and that triangle, that trio together, is really special. The fact that those guys just love each other and work together. Mm-hmm. Like that's something that we never see that. We saw in Last Dance, everybody's fighting each other all the time. These guys love each other. They're going to be friends forever. And it's so cool to see that kind of just unity in three basketball players.
So Randy, did you find it interesting how many of those guys were trying to do this for Steph? It doesn't often – somebody you try to do it for a coach or somebody that hasn't won. They were unified in doing it for Steph Curry. Did that surprise you at all?
I mean, he's a likable fella. Everybody likes Steph Curry, and it does – that's another thing. You know, basketball is a team game, and everybody has to work together. And when your leader is beloved by everybody else on their team, unlike, I don't know, a Baker Mayfield in Cleveland – you know, there's something to say to that, and there's something to say to his character and the character of those guys that they all love each other and they all don't want to just one up and I'm the reason we won. I should get more money. I should get more fame. They all want to do it for Steph. They all want to do it for each other.
All right,
it's hippie talk.
So didn't you just say that you would go after Baker because he's clearly better than Sam Darnold, and then you just threw a shot at Baker – for not being liked by his teammates What do you want that
now,
guy
hold
for?
On. You told me, why are the Panthers why are the Panthers going after? I didn't say I would. I said, why are the Panthers doing it? That's a different question, sir.
That's very good. I'm glad you cleared that up because, you know, I was about to rethink things, Randy. All right, before I let both of you guys go, do you have any hot takes that you want to tell the masses while we've got Randy Slack before he goes out to sweat at a Circle K?
My hot take is that soccer becomes a bigger sport than baseball over the next 10 years. We get the next World Cup is here. We've got a great generation of young talent. We're becoming like how France and Argentina and Spain were in basketball in the early 2000s. That's kind of what we're doing in soccer here. I think the MLS deal with Apple TV is going to be big. And I think just overall that sport grows. And while they're trying to grow and they're getting a fan base, baseball doesn't care about baseball. And they don't want you to care about baseball.
That is a hot take about baseball. It's probably more of a hot take about baseball than it is about soccer. So are you saying that soccer is going to be like the third biggest sport? Because
yeah,
baseball is more
close.
Popular than hockey.
100%. Baseball is more popular than hockey. Hockey is a lot more regional, but soccer has a lot of things going for it. People see the international game. They see our guys competing well in the international game. And the games are so much shorter. The clock runs the entire time. I don't know if you've paid attention to anybody under the age of 30, but that's a good thing when things continuously move.
I have paid attention. Look, I have become a massive football fan, meaning the real football, not what we play here in the United States. A massive football fan. I was excited when the fixtures came out for the Premier League. Liverpool will open up at Craven Cottage against Fulham. I can't wait for that. Jeremy, can you top Randy's hot take?
I actually have two. The first one is I'm not a hockey fan by any stretch. I know none of the players, and the Stanley Cup Finals through one game have already been wildly more entertaining than anything that happened in the NBA Finals.
Okay.
And the Baltimore Ravens and Philadelphia Eagles are the two greatest future bets I have ever seen in the years I've been doing this.
Really?
Wow.
Without a doubt, I think the Baltimore Ravens are the best team in the NFL that nobody talks about, and the Philadelphia Eagles are the team that nobody really cares because they're not. There's nothing sexy about them, but they're going to win that division, and I don't think it's all that close.
I actually agree with you about the Eagles winning that division. I don't know that anybody in that division is good. But I think the Eagles are an up-and-coming team in that division. And I actually think that on the low, I think Jalen Hurts is going to have a really good year.
A.J. Brown's the perfect complement to Jalen Hurts. Yeah. Just because he's one of the best players with the ball in his hands in the league. Adding that with the ability to run, with what they improved on the defense. I've been staring at the Vegas number on them, staying right around 7.5 or 8.5. I think that's two solid wins low, if not more.
Hmm. All right there. A man after our own heart. We got to get you back. Come on the show at 1:45 when he places our bets. Jeremy Green on Twitter at ESPN Draft Nerd, Sportsocracy on ESPN Asheville. You got to get to work, sir. And Randy Slack, ESPN Wilmington. You have to be at a gas station in a few minutes, sir.
I got to go there at 4 o'clock. Can't wait.
All right. Unleaded. Oh, they should just pay you in gas.
That'd be nice.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much. Thank you for doing it.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006. But it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.